Welcome to Planet Local Voices from the Local Futures podcast. In this series, you will hear from a wide array of voices who came together in 2023 to build a global movement for local economies worldwide. This episode features Chris Smage. Chris is an author, small-scale farmer, social scientist and critic of eco-modernism. He writes about the current moment of vast change as the dynamics of climate, energy, politics and natural ecosystems upend familiar assumptions about how the world is supposed to work. He's written two books, A Small Farm Future and Saying No to a Farm-Free Future, which are both grounded in his belief that we need to develop low-energy localisms that give people the means to make a practical livelihood from their surrounding ecological base. From Planet Local Voices, here's Chris Smage.
I was in academia as a social scientist, and this was in the 1990s as climate change and energy issues kind of rose up the agenda. I just started thinking about that really and feeling that food was a real key point. I had studied with people like Paul Richards as an undergraduate, who wrote Indigenous Agricultural Revolution, so I suppose I had this kind of sympathy to bottom-up solutions and community-based solutions rather than sort of top-down techie ones. I just sort of joined some of those dots around that time and, kind of got into small-scale local farming, and then sort of doing that, you sort of experience at first hand sort of some of the issues involved in that sort of drew me into, writing about food and community and localism and futures.
And he also walks his talk as a food producer and educator on his own farm in the UK's southwest.
We've got a small holding not too far from here, actually, in northeast Somerset. So for quite a number of years now, we've run a small market garden producing vegetables for local people and doing various other sort of educational. It's kind of a community-minded local business that's sort of gone through various different iterations. But yeah, we're still there doing that.
Chris upholds the vision of agrarian localism as fundamental for humanity's future. We asked what he means by this term and what futures based on agrarian localism could look like.
My arguments are that we need to start with agrarianism. You get all these different, people talk about the information society or the affluent society or whatever, but ultimately, we are an agrarian society, or globally, we have to produce food. We more or less have to do it agriculturally. Most parts of the world have figured out a low impact, job rich way of producing food and fiber locally. So agrarianism for me is sort of where it all comes together, where humans are interacting with nature. And the localism, here we are at Planet Local, I probably don't need to talk at great length about why localism is important, but part of it from an agrarian point of view for me is that we need to kind of emplace ourselves within our landscapes and within nature as ecological protagonists and kind of have direct feedback, the things that we do to produce a livelihood, they have impacts on the world and on other people locally, and with global systems that are commodified, you don't necessarily see that. You only get signals through through very abstracted market kind of signals, whereas if you're doing it locally, if you're acting in the world as an ecological protagonist, you get feedback, and that's important in terms of kind of fitting ourselves into the, into nature, into the wider system, and into our local communities. A lot of modern thinking is to try and abstract ourselves as much as possible, you know, from being a protagonist in the kind of drama of the local ecology. And I've spent quite a lot of time writing critically about eco-modernism, you know, which I think is kind of what it's trying to do, you know, sometimes for good faith reasons. But it's this argument that by using, you know, more and more, better and better tech, that we can somehow abstract ourselves and not have an impact on the world around us. You know, we always have an impact on the world around us, and the best way to do that with care and attentiveness is to kind of be there on the ground doing it at some level.
Abstracting ourselves from place, from the local, and getting people out of food production has been central to the modern economy. The logic has been to centralize people in cities and mass produce food as commodities using vast amounts of fossil fuels and get that food to the consumers via long distance trade. Chris sheds a very different light on this so-called efficiency.
We've got a very urbanized world, and that has largely arisen as a result of the availability of fossil energy, you know, cheap, abundant fossil energy that enables us to import food and other materials into cities. You know, we're very, very concentrated in our geographical location, and that is basically a result of cheap fossil energy. My recent book, Saying No to a Farm-Free Future, is very much a critique of this notion that we can do away with farming and use industrial technologies to produce food. That requires generated electricity, which is a huge cost. You know, we're not even really decarbonizing the existing energy system, let alone turning away from farmed food to manufactured food. What energizes us all, what energizes nature, is sunlight. You know, that is very diffuse. There's an enormous amount of energy sort of falling upon the earth, but it's diffuse. So historically, people have been relatively diffuse in order to capture that. And, you know, my argument is that, you know, ultimately, the degree of urbanization that we've had in the world in recent times very much has stemmed from, you know, as I say, the availability of abundant, cheap energy. I think we're moving, so energy futures are important. People take different views on that. But my view is that we're moving to a future of lesser energy abundance. And that is going to mean agrarian localism, ultimately, to a degree, de-urbanization. And that's an important reality, I think, for us to embrace now, so that we can do it in a more designed way than in a kind of default way that could be quite chaotic.
Chris digs deeper into his analysis of the global food system to point out some of the less obvious ways fossil fuels are embedded in this way of feeding ourselves.
Fertilizer is tremendously energy intensive, and it also has tremendously negative consequences in terms of pollution that then requires further energy, you know, cleaning up watersheds and water systems. Other agrochemicals are also very energy intensive, manufacture of agroplastics, for example, and the sort of traction and transport energies into food. And all of these things, in a way, are labour substituting. You know, we've sort of gone through this history of getting people out of agriculture. You know, it's a sort of odd sector in that every other sector we celebrate when jobs are created in a sector, whereas agriculture, we're like, great, you know, we got more people out of agriculture. And that's kind of an old story that may or may not have had its pluses in the past. I think now we're needing to actually relocalize agriculture. That means bringing more people into it. And perhaps we need to think about horticulture rather than agriculture as well. You know, the sort of action of tending a diversity of garden plants, because what we've had is a huge overproduction of a small number of of commodity crops which can be mechanized. So again, you know, the energy input is all in, you know, the agrochemicals, the huge machinery, the huge transport technologies involved in, you know, wheat, maize, rice, soy, canola, oilseed rape, as we call it here. So there's a huge kind of energy burden involved in all of those things. And, you know, really we need to put the people back into the picture of producing a greater diversity of locally appropriate foods. And yeah, so that's, you know, that those agricultural energy uses are one obvious thing. Water, both getting clean, you know, purifying water, getting clean water to people and getting wastes, you know, human wastes, which again, you know, in our, you know, on our little farm, we have composting toilets. You know, human waste when it's spread out, you know, is a real boon. But when you're, when it's concentrated, it's a problem, ultimately an energetic problem. So all of these kind of forms of concentration, you know, ultimately come down to greater energy use. And, you know, that I think is going to be a problem in the future.
To many, this may sound like a gloomy outlook on the future. But to growing numbers of people around the world who are yearning for a more connected, more grounded way of life, agrarian localist futures are truly something to embrace. Chris explores these ideas.
It's very often framed as a sacrifice, although I think, you know, the word sacrifice is interesting because what it means is making sacred. So I think we can turn it around and say a sacrifice, you know, making a practice of food production locally sacred is, you know, what's not to like about that? You know, agrarian localist societies will not be able to support the level of technological and kind of ease of transport that we've become familiar with in the modern world. You know, is that a bad thing? I mean, to my view, it's inevitable, you know, so the sooner we try and embrace the positives, the less problematic it will be. But there's, you know, I've sort of noticed this on our own holding. There's any number of people wanting to come to our holding to volunteer. You know, we run programs for kids, you know, kids who are sort of very alienated at school, come into a, you know, an environment with trees and animals and nature and are suddenly energized and engaged. So, you know, there's a sort of huge diversity of food and fibre and things that we can do locally that sort of get flattened by, you know, by a kind of high energy, more globalised system. So I don't want to underestimate the challenges and many of the things that we've become used to in modern society that, you know, probably will not be available. But there are definitely positives, you know, and you know, much more kind of engagement with each other as, you know, within communities and engagement with nature, which I think, you know, is something that so many people are so alienated from now. And it's, you know, sort of nature deficit kind of arguments, I think, are very valid. So, yeah, there's a lot of things to look forward to, too, potentially, if we get it right.
Those are some of the benefits for humans, but what about non-human nature? Can biodiversity also benefit if we humans become more involved on the land as ecological protagonists in local food systems?
A lot of farmers are on a kind of treadmill of productivity with, you know, very, very costly inputs, which means they've got to crank out the productivity. And we overproduce this small handful of global commodity crops. And then it's like, well, what do we do with all this grain? You know, let's feed it to livestock. You know, let's add value by, you know, by pouring it down the throats of livestock or making biofuels out of it. Whereas if you're in a more constrained energetic situation, you know, that does impose difficulties and you've got to figure things out, but you're intrinsically less likely to push the margins of cultivation. You know, livestock become ecological, themselves become ecological protagonists on the farm rather than just a kind of production line of meat. But also there's enormous potential within that, you know, if you're not using the agrochemicals, which are, you know, disastrous really for wildlife, you know, if you're making yourself a protagonist locally, if you're conscious of the impact of agriculture on wildlife. And, you know, in many ways you can use wild systems to deliver benefits, to deliver agricultural benefits. So there's all sorts of ways in which we can both spare land for nature and share the land that we are occupying and producing food on better with wild organisms than we tend to do with kind of industrial fossil energy based farming systems. Engage with food, think about where your food comes from and think about the diversity of food. You know, it's not, you know, something like 75, here's a figure for you, 75% or thereabouts of global cropland is devoted to just 10 crops, most of which are cereals or grain legumes. You know, there's so much more diversity in food, so much more delicious food and, you know, really vibrant food cultures historically all over the world. So, you know, if we let go of that kind of very centralized food system, there's a kind of a local world to win, to embrace.
That interview was recorded in September 2023 at the Planet Local Summit in Bristol, UK. To get notified about new episodes from this series, subscribe to our channel or sign up to our mailing list via localfutures.org. Also find on our website a vast collection of resources for education and big picture activism to shift the economy from global to local. And of course, we hope you'll tune in to the other inspiring thinkers and movement leaders featured in the Planet Local Voices series. Until next time, thanks for listening to Planet Local Voices from the Local Futures podcast.